Our next guest, Laura Brown, decided if she wanted to write something, she'd write a book about how to write something. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. What got you into the case where you're writing a sort of an encyclopedic type of book about how to write almost anything? Were you annoyed at what people were writing? Were you realizing that we were lacking in some proper protocol? Or what was the situation for you?
I've been working as a business writing consultant for about 30 years, and over the course of that time, my clients would bring other different kinds of writing tasks to me for help, a thank you note or a condolence message or a college application essay. So I thought, you know, after about 30 years of doing that, I was qualified to do it. And I also felt like the way we write has changed so much because of the internet, that I thought we really needed a resource that was contemporary and really responds to the way people have to write today. So that was what motivated me to write it.
After I got your book, it made me think, I have a college textbook. Most of them I just traded, but the one that I kept was called Business Communication. And I kept the book because the writer of this particular book some 30 years ago said that the way business was being written in writing was too old-fashioned. There was too much clutter in it. It wasn't getting to the point, and they were trying to have new ways of doing it. And I was thinking, it takes a long time to move business in a certain direction. But I think when you mentioned the internet, this social media, I think that kind of took everyone by surprise and pushed business writing into a whole different direction. Are you finding that to be true?
Oh, absolutely. That's absolutely true. I used to teach business writing at Iona College in New York years ago, and one of my lessons was about, you know, how to declutter, how to stop using those legalese phrases, you know, enclosed please find, things like that. People just don't do that anymore. Although, you know, I think sometimes people tend to go on too long still. But, yeah, the tone has changed tremendously.
But it almost seems to have become quite the opposite. I mean, too quick. Sometimes you don't even put a salutation, or at least who this is addressed to. You assume that the email has the person's name on it. They're the one that you're talking to. But sometimes if you copy other people in that email, everybody's wondering, who are they asking to do this task, and what's going on?
I think it's a good idea to put a salutation in an email. It doesn't take very long. And there are good reasons to do it for clarity and just courtesy. But, yeah, I think that everybody's under so much pressure to get things done fast these days. So we're writing very fast, and there are problems that come with that as well. You leave things out, lack of clarity. So there's a happy medium somewhere.
Laura, I noticed your book is divided into several parts, and one is called The Writing Spinner. What's a spinner?
Well, that's an idea that I have about the writing process. The writing process that we learned in school and maybe in writing training is taught in a linear way. You start with step one by thinking about your reader and your purpose, and then you brainstorm content, and then you organize, and then you write a draft, and then you revise. And that's great if you are a linear thinker. But I realized one night when I was trying to teach this, hey, I don't write this way. This isn't how I do it. I usually sit down and start writing a draft before I do an outline. And is that wrong? No, it's not. So I thought more about the writing process. What if it isn't a straight line? What if it's more like a circle? And envision a spinner like you had in some of your childhood games. You can just spin it, and you can start anywhere. You can start by writing a draft. You can start by writing an outline. You can start by analyzing your purpose. And I am hoping that the writing spinner will help free people to write in a way that's more comfortable for them, and they'll be more productive and efficient that way.
And you also have this divided up into sections of writing in your personal life, writing at school, writing at work. Similarities between them, or are there big differences, really?
I think that there are some important similarities. I think thinking about your reader is something you need to do no matter what you're writing and where you're writing. I think writing is not a one-way process. It's a two-way communication, and there's somebody on the other end of that communication that you're writing. So I think whether you're writing a condolence message or a lab report or a resume, you need to think about your reader. How is your reader going to respond to what you've written? So I think that's one area of commonality.
We're talking to Laura Brown. The book is called How to Write Anything, A Complete Guide. It seems to be it's one of those kind of things where you'd have on the shelf and you thought, I suddenly have to write a you know, a wedding invitation or a condolence. And I mean, sometimes if you're not doing these frequently, or if you don't have someone to ask, who in the old days used to have to do all this by hand, I think this is a good reference. One of the things you have in here is a thank you note. And I have to tell you, thank you notes for me are, is to me, one of the more difficult things to really, really do. I find I get either stuck in figuring out, how do I want to say thank you, but yet fill out the card, because I could just say thank you for the gift, and then I'm kind of at loss a little bit on it. Can you help me a little bit what to do?
Sure. Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way. First of all, saying thank you is a good thing. Sometimes people forget to say thank you in a thank you note. So start the note by saying thank you. And then I think the thing, you know, we were talking about thinking about your reader. If you put yourself in your reader's shoes, what would make your reader happy to hear? And I think that a reader would like to hear how you're enjoying that particular gift, what it means to you, how you're going to use it. Is it something you particularly were hoping for? Is it something that you hadn't imagined getting, but now you can't imagine living without it? Even just something very simple, if somebody gives you a coffee maker or something, you can say something like, you know, thank you for the coffee maker. It's great. I use it every single morning, and I think of you every time I use it. So it doesn't have to be, you know, of earth-shattering proportions, but just a little thoughtful statement, letting them know how much you appreciate it.
When it comes to responding with a thank you with an email, do you have to respond to the thank you with a you're welcome? Where does it end?
That's a good question. I have a section in the book that's an interview with a guy who works in financial aid for a large graduate school, and he says that the bane of his existence is the thank you email, because he gets about 400 emails a day, and when he opens one and all it says is thank you, he feels his time has been wasted. That's sort of a personal style thing. I don't think a you're welcome email is necessary unless there's something in particular you want to say in the conversation. A thank you is nice, but I don't think a you're welcome is necessary.
If you remember in the story about that financial aid guy, he says he likes it best if you just put thank you in the subject line. And
yeah.
I think people could use the subject line of an email for a quicker kind of a response. You can see it. It shows up in your inbox. You kind of see the person who it's from. You kind of see a comment from it, and you kind of can move on. You don't have to go through the task of opening it up and wondering. It is now. I should blow the cover of my coworker here. He likes to send emails using previous used subject lines. In other words, he just kind of continues another thread. So you'll get an email that had like a week old subject line, but the email is totally different just because he wants to quickly send you the email and you know that you were part of that thread the last time. Can you scold him for me?
Sure. That sounds pretty confusing. I'm having trouble even understanding what he's doing.
Well, that's typical,
I suppose. That's all I have to say. Well, I got an email from him that had to do with some previous, whatever the subject line, and he just kind of responds, forwards it, and then adds a new comment about something else into it.
Well, now, he's just looping you into the conversation.
Looping is probably the good word for that, too. I get a little
okay.
Loopy on this. Now, this book itself, you know, what age range of people you think could learn from something like in this book? I'm assuming there's a lot of people who never had to handwrite something, so this is almost like an etiquette book that we used to have that we thought were archaic, you know, back in the day. Do you see it as that way for younger people?
It can be. It's not exclusively an etiquette book, but there are definitely pointers in there that I think will be helpful for young people. I think starting in high school onwards, there's a lot of stuff in this book that will be helpful for people.
And it also talks about many different things. Anytime you have how to write a recipe in here, which, you know, you might think is, well, wouldn't I know that? But I've had many recipe cards that were handed down, you know, thinking they didn't put the temperature or what does it mean this mean? What does that mean? Or where's the rest of this recipe? You know,
it's amazing. I have a similar recipe. I have my aunt's cheesecake recipe. And I remember all my life, she made it for Easter every year, and she put little colored eggs on it and little dyed coconut as a nest, and it was beautiful. And I asked her for the recipe, and I had to call her. I said, but what about this and what about that? It was so incomplete. So, you can't assume that everybody knows how to write a recipe. And if you leave something out, it can be kind of a disaster.
There's so many different things that you have in here to write. Which is the one that you struggle the most with when it comes to writing something?
Oh, that's a good question. I suppose it's a condolence note. Not because I don't know how to do it, but just because it's painful, and you want to do a good job. And I think a lot of people have trouble with condolence messages. The thing that I finally figured out that made it a lot easier for me to do it is that I think that we unconsciously, when we write a sympathy note, we're looking for the thing to say that's going to make it all better. And once you realize you can't make it all better, you can't cure the pain, all you can do is say that you care, then it's much easier to write the note. Just let them know, I'm thinking of you, I'm sorry, I care about you. If you pray, I'm praying for you. And then it's nice to pick a little anecdote about the person who's deceased and share that with the bereaved, because that's a little gift.
And not only about writing a note, I think you talk about writing it, and many times when I'm thinking you're talking about it, I'm thinking about handwriting it. How important is that in certain occasions?
I think there's some things that should probably still be handwritten, and I think that a condolence message is one of them. I think typically thank you notes for wedding gifts are still handwritten. I know that handwriting is falling out of favor, but it's such a personal touch. I think communications that are very personal, I think, are still better handwritten.
You also touch on social media, Facebook. What's a good way to think about a Facebook post? Because those, I mean, we see enough of them out there, and we wonder, well, how long is this going to go on, and what do they mean by that? Any tips for people who are posting for things that somehow never get taken down or are always there for other people to read?
Right. Well, that's a good point right there, that it's if you post it on Facebook, it doesn't go away, even if you take it down. In things like tweets, you can tweet something, you can take it down, and it's still searchable in Google. So anything that you post on social media, you have to consider, is there permanently, and everyone can see it. I know that there are privacy settings on some of these things, but those change a lot. So it's safer to really to assume that this is that what you're posting on Facebook is going on the front page of the New York Times. So make sure you're comfortable with that.
Yeah, I like that reference. Or the second part of that, you said, or as if your mother was reading it.
Exactly.
I think those are the two touchstones. We think if somebody who really could, who knows us, or if somebody, the entire world would see it, how would we feel about
right.
that, too?
Right, or your boss, you know?
Exactly.
Because your boss might see it, seriously. If you put it on Facebook, your boss might see it. So.
The book is called How to Write Anything, A Complete Guide. I've been holding it during the entire interview, and my arms are aching. It is so big, but it has so much great information. It has a lot of information that many people go, I knew that. But in as much as somebody knows this one, there's a lot of things that other people may not know. So it's good to have it in a book form and to kind of give everybody kind of a guide on how to write almost anything. It's very helpful. Thanks for sharing the time with us, Laura. We appreciate it.
People, thank you so
people
much.
People want to find out more about your writings or this book. What's a good way for them to check that out?
They can check out my website, which is www.howtowriteanything.com. My blog is there. You can order the book there. And I have a lot of free downloadable resources on writing, grammar, punctuation, and there's a free report. The 5 most common writing mistakes and how to avoid them. So that's howtowriteanything.com.
Oh, I got into radio, so I didn't have to write. I could just speak without the punctuation and not worry about the spelling. But now with social media, we're required to do some of that, too. So you can't get away from it. Laura,
no, you can't.
Thanks for sharing the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Laura Brown, the book again, How to Write Anything, A Complete Guide.